Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everybody, to the Boiler Alert Podcast. With you, as always, I'm your host, Andrew Ledman. I am flying solo today. Ryan is up with his mother enjoying the Easter holiday. I had another co-host ready to go, but about 2 hours before showtime here, had to back out on me, but that's no problem. We roll with the punches here at the Boiler Alert Podcast. So there's been a lot of news in basketball for Purdue this last week to 10 days, so we wanted to touch on a little bit of all that. We'll probably go more in-depth on this later on, but given the news that has broken in the last week, I wanted to touch on all of it. So first and foremost is the loss of Brandon Newman to the transfer portal. The redshirt junior heads out the door after what can only be described really as an up-and-down season and career for Brandon Newman. He had a great freshman year, started a lot of games for Purdue, and then he was kind of looked at as maybe the next great shooter for Purdue. A lot of length, so a real opportunity to be a great defender for the team. And then his sophomore year, you know, he just kind of fell off, made a lot of mental mistakes, didn't really seem to have the effort we were hoping to on defense, and his shots just weren't falling. And he fell out of the rotation, and he fell out of it hard. And it wasn't really until the Big Ten tournament in his sophomore year, so 2 seasons ago, when he really found his stride and was able to get back to the player that most of us had thought he was going to be. And then, you know, you hoped that he would take that momentum, build on that momentum, and come back stronger in his third season on the court. And, you know, unfortunately, that just wasn't the case. We love Brandon Newman. A lot of heart. You know, you always... we, of course, saw the viral tweet of him taking free throws after a loss. I believe that was his sophomore year. And we knew he was a Boilermaker. We knew he had the heart. He was going to put in the effort, put in the work. But again, this most recent season, his shot just was not falling consistently. He was making a lot of mental mistakes, bad turnovers, fouls that didn't really need to be made. And he couldn't seem to get it together to what we wanted him to be and what we needed him to be. And again, just like his second season with the program, he kind of came on at the end of the season and kind of found his shot, found who we needed him to be. His defensive intensity was absolutely ratcheted up in the second half of this most recent season. And that, honestly, it gave me hope that he was going to stick around because he truly was improving. And he'd made that defensive intensity kind of part of who he was. We saw him get a lot more steals. He was much more active, going after the ball, tipping the ball out of bounds, you know, getting some swats, getting some pokeaways. And he looked like a completely different ball player. He was so energized and, you know, didn't do everything we would have hoped in the NCAA tournament. But I mean, who did on this Purdue squad? So he ends, unfortunately, his Purdue career on a sour note with that first round loss to Fairleigh Dickinson. Important to note, because I know it matters to me, he did graduate in December with his Purdue degree. So he is walking out that door with a degree that will always serve him and hopefully will serve him well wherever he lands. So that is great news. We love to hear that for our basketball players here at Purdue. No word yet on where he's going to go, where he's going to look. A lot of folks have mentioned Notre Dame going with former Purdue assistant Micah Shrewsbury. And that does seem like it would be a good landing spot for him, a coach who knows him, a coach who understands what he's capable of. So I don't want to play him, so I would like for him to go to a school that Purdue does not play. And so I don't believe we play Notre Dame next year unless something comes up in one of these random off-season additions. You know, the basketball schedule always comes together so late, so wouldn't want to see him on the opponent's side, but I definitely wish him nothing but the best. So kudos to Brandon Newman. Always going to be a Boilermaker in my heart, and really looking forward to see what he does next season. So That now allows Purdue to have two open scholarships. Brandon Newman's scholarship is open. Three. David Jenkins Jr. scholarship is open, and Matt Frost, the walk-on who was granted a scholarship, will be graduating as well. So that is three. We know we've got Miles Colvin coming in. That is one of those. So Painter has been on the lookout for folks to add in the transfer portal. Hopefully folks who can, you know, just be a one-and-done situation, because you don't want to necessarily compromise your scholarship grid integrity. But, you know, lo and behold, this week, end of the week, Purdue got SIU transfer guard Lance Jones. That is Southern Illinois, so Painter's old stomping grounds, the Salukis. And he is coming in. He announced on, I believe on Friday, that he is coming to the Boilermakers. And what do we know about this guy? So he's going to be a fifth-year senior with 1 year of eligibility remaining for the Boilermakers. This would technically be what we would call his COVID year, given the blanket kind of exemption that the NCAA granted for all these players to kind of have one more year, since one season was so wrecked by COVID. No NCAA tournament. We remember that all too well. So last year for the Salukis, Jones started 33 games, averaged 14 points. He was third team all-conference, and he was named to the all-defense squad in the Missouri Valley. So you love the all-defense squad part. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It does worry me that we're getting guys who are third team All-Missouri Valley. I'm really hopeful for this guy. I want him to be good. So I'm going to talk about some good and some bad, or, you know, maybe as Drew wrote on the site, maybe some questionable things that hopefully we can iron out as the season progresses next year. So Jones has been described as an athletic, experienced guard. And that is something that Purdue has truly missed, and we saw how that played out in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, like I said, 6'1", 200 pounds, not exactly a big guard, kind of fits the same mold that we would see with the majority of Purdue's guards right now. We're not a very big team at the guard position. I think Braden Smith can generously be listed at 6 foot, so I don't love the height. I would have liked a little more height on him. He is a four-year starter for Southern Illinois. He's averaged 30-plus minutes a game over the last three seasons, so we know the guy can run. He's got good stamina. He can go out there and just eat up minutes. Now, one thing that is great, you look at his stats. You see 43% from three as a sophomore. You're like, this is perfect. Purdue needs this. We saw what happened in the NCAA tournament when the shooting just vanished for Purdue. So to add a guy who can shoot 43% from three is absolutely great. However, those numbers continue to go down. So as I said, 43% in his sophomore year. In his junior year, it fell to 34%. And then in this most recent season, it bottomed out. He was sitting only 28% of his threes. We don't love those numbers. It is important to note that his attempts have gone up. So he was at 42% on 119 attempts from three in his sophomore year. In his junior year, when he shot 34%, it was on 180 attempts, so an additional 61 from the prior year. And then this last season, when he was shooting 27%, he took an astronomical, I mean, just out of this world, 243 three-point shots. So that is a 63-shot increase from his junior year, and over double what he took in his sophomore year when he shot 42%. So maybe we just need to make sure he finds good shots, limit his volume. Maybe that will be the key for him. And the question is, can he go back to that 43%? Because that really is what Purdue needs. They need a guy who can come in and absolutely drain a three when we need it. Because we saw in that NCAA tournament, the skittishness of everyone who was shooting a three, and just the inability to hit anything from deep. You know, yeah, got a guy like Zach Edey, you're going to get open looks. We don't know if Zach Edey's returning, but I would imagine it's a big selling point for Zach Edey to, if we can say, hey, we got guys who are coming in and shooting threes and can make them, so we want you to stay. Hopefully, you know, we can advance further than we did this year. Hard to advance less, I guess, unless you don't make the tournament. So You just never know. He was on the Missouri Valley Conference All Defensive Team, known as a defensive stopper role on that team, and he's been All Defense a couple of seasons there in the Missouri Valley. So this is who we're getting. I mean, we've got him. This gives Purdue one more open scholarship as of now, as of this recording. We don't know if anybody else in the squad is going to transfer. We don't know about Zach Edey's decision maybe to go pro. Whatever he's going to do, obviously we wish him the best. We just don't know what it means for the complexion of next year's team. Now, there's one more thing I wanted to talk about, and that is LJ Crier. And for those of you who follow college basketball, you know he was at Baylor. Pretty hotshot guy over at Baylor. Entered the transfer portal, which was surprising. You know, Baylor's got a pretty successful program, and he was doing well there. And we thought maybe he could come to Purdue because Purdue recruited him out of high school, and he was a guy who, if you believe the reports at the time, very, very much wanted to come to Purdue, wanted to be a Boilermaker. And unfortunately, the scholarship numbers just didn't work out. Purdue took Jaden Ivey, actually, instead of LJ Crier, and that was that. You know, I mean, you can only have 13 scholarship players. Purdue took Jaden Ivey, and I think we're all pretty happy with how that worked out for us. Ivey, of course, crushing it in the NBA right now. Unfortunately, he's on a terrible Detroit Pistons team, but, you know, they've got a lot of talent on there, and now with, a top five pick for next year, we might see Jaden Ivey win a bunch more games next year with the Pistons. They're also going to have a new coach, I believe, as of about an hour ago. Looks like their coach is moving into the front office. So it will be good for him. But, you know, that's why Painter didn't get a guy like LJ Crier out of high school, because he took Jaden Ivey. Now, this was the second opportunity for Crier to be a Boilermaker. Every report out there says that Painter contacted him, spoke to him. I don't know if he was on campus or not. I have not seen reports of that. This brings me to a topic I want to explore in a later podcast, hopefully with someone who can argue with me and bring more knowledge to it. But it's so frustrating as a Purdue fan to see, you know, we've been ranked number one 2 years in a row, number one seed. We won the Big Ten, won the Big Ten championship, Big Ten tournament title, and we can't get big name transfers to come to Purdue. And I hate it. I'm like all of you. You know, I want the big name guard to come to Purdue as the missing piece, to say, look at all these guys around us. They're going to be a year older. We've got Zach Edey. I can convince them to come back. You know, they've got everything. We've got a great coach. I want the big name guard to come to Purdue, but I don't know if it's a stigma about Purdue. I don't know if it's a stigma about the way Painter coaches the team and makes them play. I don't know if it's an NIL thing. I mean, we know last year Purdue didn't get a lot of guards that they wanted to get, you know, specifically Nigel Pack comes to mind, due to NIL. I mean, he got just a ton of money from Miami and a car, and Purdue just was not able to match that. And I don't know if Purdue will ever be able to match that. You know, Miami has their life wallet guy throwing out, you know, millions upon millions of dollars to various players. And, you know, they had their men's and women's team, both full of transfers, full of folks kind of enticed to come by NIL, and they saw success. I mean, both their men's team and women's team went to the Final Four. And that didn't happen for Purdue. Would it have happened with Nigel Pack? I don't know. I mean, he certainly would have made a difference. Would it have been enough? I mean, it certainly would have been enough to get us past Fairleigh Dickinson. But I don't know where it goes from there. No one does. And to say otherwise is just foolish. So, I don't know. It's very frustrating to think that, and no shade, honestly, no shade to Lance Jones. Lance Jones could come in here and be a world beater and make me look like a fool. And you know, I hope he does. I hope he comes and I put him on the Mount Rushmore of Purdue because he leads us to a national title from the guard position. I'd love that. I'd love that. But as a Purdue fan, it is a bit disheartening when you see all these big names enter the transfer portal and you're like, man, Purdue could get one of these guys. We've got the scholarships open. We've got the room. We've got the players. We've been ranked number one 2 years in a row. Who wouldn't want to come play at Purdue? And then we see Purdue land a guy from Southern Illinois who, quite frankly, you know, loyal listeners, I'd never heard of. I'd never heard of him. I don't watch much Missouri Valley, and the first time I heard of him was when I saw on Twitter that rumors were he was coming to Purdue and he was likely to commit. And that's when I started doing research. I mean, he's got some nice video out there. He's got some nice tape, but as I always say with recruiting, everybody has nice tape. You know, it's not hard to take an entire career and give me a 2.5 minute highlight video. Anybody can do that, you know. Let me clarify. Anybody who plays D1 basketball can put together a pretty good highlight reel. I cannot. You know, not a lot of missed jump shots and inability to even sniff the rim on my 5'6" part here. But it's just, you know, it's difficult to see Purdue whiff time and time again. And full disclosure, you know, we don't know how hard Purdue was going after LJ Cryer, but there was a pre-existing relationship. This is a guy who had wanted to come to Purdue out of high school. Purdue recruited him, and then, you know, lost out only really seemingly because of a scholarship crunch. And those are the kind of guys you hope you've left a good relationship with. And when this happens, you can kind of slide in and say, hey, man, we've got it now. I'd love to have you. I'd love to get you the opportunity. Remember how, you know, good of a relationship we built, but it just didn't happen. And for Purdue, it seems to continuously not happen. And in this new era of NIL and the transfer portal, teams are going to be built more and more through the transfer portal. And Purdue and Matt Painter specifically have got to figure out a way to get in there, get active, and get the very best players. We talked about it with Megan. I talked about it with Megan Gailey in the last podcast. Painter is like a GM who drafts for need, not for best available. And I think that is so true with this situation. You know, again, no shade to Lance Jones from Southern Illinois. He may come out and be a superstar. But Painter thought, hey, I need a quick guard who can be good on defense and hopefully create his own shot and slash and get to the rim, maybe hit some mid-range shots, and has a decent three-point shooter shot in there. Well, maybe we got all that with Lance Jones. Maybe he's just an under-the-radar guy. I don't know. I really hope so. I do. I want him to succeed, and I want Painter to be proven right. But we will see where this goes. For now, he's all we've got. Purdue has one open scholarship. I would expect them to continue looking. You know, Harrison Ingram's in the portal. Purdue recruited him pretty hard, but he was at Stanford previously and is now in the portal. I don't know if Purdue's going to take another run at him. He's also a forward, not sure where he'd fit. You know, Purdue really needs guards at this point. So as the summer progresses, and if Purdue continues to have one open scholarship, Ryan and I will probably do some looking and see who we see available that Purdue might like. So, and one more thing before we get out of here, I did want to congratulate Matt Grahovic. I hope that is correct. He is at Twitter on – he's on Twitter at Matt_Grahovac. He was the winner of our bracket challenge, and he wanted me to give a shout-out to one of his hobbies is – he's an avid backpacker and hiker, lives in Northern Virginia, and he has a hiking and backpacking blog. He writes up trail profiles for his hikes and his mini adventures. So – I'm going to put the link to this on the website and hopefully in the show notes, so you can go take a look. And you can also find him on Instagram at MLGHikes. So congratulations to Matt for winning our bracket tournament. It helps that he did not pick Purdue. He picked UConn, so good for him. So congratulations, Matt. Hopefully next year the winner will be someone who picked Purdue, because Purdue will win it all. So let's hope that next year.